Morning, everyone. Welcome to Blount Springs. Would you join me this morning to worship our Savior? Church, this is how we fight.
So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Savior this morning.
Yes, I'm glad when the sap is old. waters have flown, I'll fly away. And I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, I'll fly away. And just a joys will never end. I'll find a way, and I'll find a way of glory. I'll find a way. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, I'll find a way. I'll fight my fight.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. just praising the Lord this morning.
Can we lift up our voices one more time?
In holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Amen. Let's glorify the name of the Lord one more time.
Good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James. As Chris read earlier, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 will be the centerpiece of the sermon today. If y'all know me, you know what I'm fixing to say is absolute truth. Countless times in my life, I have had useful information that would absolutely help me, yet absolutely refused to use it. Anybody out there like that? Does that relate to anybody this morning? Okay, we got a couple of honest people ready. In 2007, I bought a Chevrolet Z71 extended cab pickup truck. Back then, the feature was kind of new that y'all all probably take for granted now, the tire pressure monitoring systems. Anybody got that in their cars probably? Well, this was a brand new feature. I didn't know much about it, but I noticed that my back left tire was needing air about every third day. I thought, that's weird. This sensor must be broken, although I was putting air in it about every third day. Well, Bethany and I took a little road trip over to Mississippi. And on the side of the road, on the way back home from Mississippi, that nail that had been there the entire time slung out of that tire and blum, 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 down the side of the road. So there I am on the side of the road with a flat tire. Why? The tire pressure monitoring system had been telling me I had something wrong with that tire for weeks. But did I do anything with the information? Absolutely not. I just kept patching it, kept putting a little air into it. I never once even looked for a nail. Yeah, that's how smart I was with that. I didn't suffer because I lacked information. I suffered because I ignored it. And if we're honest, many of us approach our spiritual lives in the same way. As we head into 2026, are you hoping the new year will change you instead of obeying what God has already made clear that will change you? Exposure to God's Word will inform us. Reading it, listening to it, you're going to get information. There's no doubt. But only obedience to God's Word will transform us. The real issue probably for most of us that are here today is not whether we will hear God's Word this year. That's not the issue. It's whether we'll apply it to our lives instead of ignoring it once we hear it. Helping us with applying God's Word in our life is this: time reveals, but time does not reform. Look at verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. James commands action, not accumulation of more information. Hearing without obedience, he says, is self-deception. It's actually delusional to do that. Time around truth, time around God's Word will absolutely reveal our broken condition. It will reveal our shortcomings. There's no doubt if you would just be willing to compare yourself in comparison to the life of Jesus and the commands of God. It's pretty simple. You see it pretty quickly if you're honest with yourself. But just being around it and seeing those things doesn't improve it. This nation probably has a ton of Bibles. It's still the number one seller. I bet they're in almost every house in America. But what is it doing when it's sitting on a coffee table or a bedside table when it's completely closed? Just sleeping around it, does that make us closer to Jesus Christ? It's close to my head, really, as I said it right there beside it. No. I have found in my life, you don't drift towards holiness. If you were in a boat and you put it out in the water and you didn't have a sail or a motor or anything, it's very unlikely that you're just going to wake up and all of a sudden, man, I made it just right where I was supposed to go. You're going to drift away. In my life, what I have found is my flesh, if I'm into the drift mode, my flesh will help that navigate that boat and I'll be in sin. It's just the way that it works. When I'm not applying and striving to obey what God's Word says, I always drift towards the wrong direction. I've got one of those backpack sprayers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're awesome. When they made that, that was just a really good invention because you can pump and spray at the same time. Well, I'm going to tell you, occasionally, I will put diesel fuel in it because it helps to bolster the poison a little bit when you got those really tough things. I knew that diesel fuel is corrosive and probably damaging to all those rubber parts inside that backpack sprayer. I knew it. I didn't need another tutorial. But I was going to use it in a couple of days to spray some more. Well, those days turned into weeks, and those weeks turned into months, and then it was time to go do that job. It was a big one, too. It wasn't a small, just a couple of little sprays. So I've got my backpack sprayer on, and the first time I pumped, guess what it did? I'm talking about I was having to do a real tricep extension just to get that thing to go down. And I sweated and worked for hours just trying to get that thing to pump, all because why? I did not apply the information to dump, empty that out before you store it, or it's going to destroy every rubber seal and fitting inside that sprayer. I had the information. I didn't apply it. The lack of application was the problem, and I paid the price for it. Time didn't fix the problem. If I had left it in the basement for another month, do you think it would have fixed it and those seals would have redone and had integrity again? No. Where are you giving time but stopping short of obedience? You've known for a long time that a relationship needs to be made right, but you're just kind of, well, maybe in another month we'll get it right. Or next year is going to be a new year and it's going to be, you know, forgiveness is going to happen and we'll move on. You've been convicted about a habit or maybe a compromise that you make regularly, but instead of pursuing overcoming the compromise and obeying God's Word, you've kind of gotten better at managing the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Like, well, it doesn't sting as much anymore. I've kind of worked through that. You know God has been prompting you to serve Him in some way, but you keep waiting to feel more ready. Next week I'll serve Him. Next month I'll serve Him. Next year I'll serve Him. Time is going to fix the issue. When we live as observers, we start confusing exposure with obedience. And they're not the same thing, and they will not achieve the same result. If we want to move towards true reformation, there's three things that we need to know. Number one, church attendance, which is great, and I'm so happy you're here. Genuinely thankful that every single person is here. But church attendance does not equal obedience to God's Word. Church attendance will give you exposure to God's Word and know what to do, but it will not lead you to doing. You see what I'm saying? Both are good together. The second thing is exposure to the truth will not equal transformation. You have to have exposure to God's Word and then application for God, to God's Word if we're ever going to be transformed. Exposure alone is not enough. And lastly, agreement with the truth is not the same thing as repentance towards the truth. Just agreeing, God's Word is good. Jesus, man, His commands are awesome. I love what He did over there. That's great, and I think that's the right thing to do. I'm never going to do it, but I mean, I think Jesus did it, and I think that's great. Those, see how they're different? We've got to go from just agreeing that this is the truth to I want to do the truth and live the truth. Time reveals, but it does not reform. Our second truth in applying God's Word to our lives is knowledge without obedience actually hardens the heart. Look at verses 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and then gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. I don't have a good short-term memory, and this absolutely applies to me. James shifts from command to comparison. The issue is not whether this person he's talking about looks in the mirror. And metaphorically, the mirror is the Word of God. It's that everybody has looked in the mirror. That's the same. The one is that when they looked in the mirror, they just walked away. They didn't do anything with the information they saw in the mirror. We're just going to keep going. Keep going about our business. A mirror gives an honest assessment. It's going to tell you the truth. The older I get, the harder the truth is when I look in that mirror. But it tells the truth. That person I'm seeing is me. But the mirror has no power to change the person. In when I look in the mirror, I'm not talking about the Word of God that has the power to change the person, not metaphorically, but literally. A mirror cannot change anything. You know, if there's one thing that I could change, it's something that started happening when I was 19 years old. I was always scared for some reason that I would lose my hair. Even as a boy, and I had a ton of it. But when I was 19, I got out of the shower, and I was drying my hair off, you know, rugged drying it like I always do. And when I looked in that towel, guess what I saw? Two hands full of my coveted hair. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of hair. I wonder why I'm shedding like a dog in here. So I go in the mirror, and I'm like, whoa, that bad boy's easing back. This side easing. Woo! That forehead's getting turned into a five head. The mirror was telling the truth. Yours truly was going bald. But guess what that mirror couldn't do? It couldn't stop it. It revealed the truth, but it couldn't help me to overcome that. As you can tell today, nothing else has helped me overcome that either. Seeing the truth about yourself is not the same thing as responding to the truth about yourself. I had a friend one time who I noticed on their face they had this place coming up. It didn't look good. I'm talking about it. It's pretty obvious. And I just kind of kept an eye on it for a little bit, and I finally just said, hey, bud, have you had that thing checked out? That thing don't look good. I seen it in the mirror. I've been looking at it. Okay. That's good. I'm glad that we're on the same page. You've seen it too. You need to go to the doctor. That is not normal, what you have going on there. Well, I may in a little bit, you know, a couple of weeks, in a month, if it's still there. And I'm sitting there thinking, that thing ain't going away. I guess it's here to stay and get bigger. Finally, went to the doctor. It was cancer. Doctor removed it. They're cured. But what if you just continue to look in the mirror and go, well, there it is. There it is. maybe next week, maybe next month. Would it have ever gone away? No. It would have led to eventually potentially taking his life. The mirror had done its job perfectly. It showed him there was a problem. The failure wasn't in the reflection. The failure was in the inactive response to what the reflection showed him. God's word is not meant to be glanced at. It's meant to be acted upon. What has God clearly shown you about yourself that you've walked away from unchanged? What has the mirror of God's word shown you that you're just like, yeah, I see it, but doing nothing with it? Have you seen pride but just dismissed it? Have you seen bitterness, anger, and just, it's okay, it's there, but we'll get past it? Have you been inconsistent but just minimize that? It's just a season I'm going through. Has God shown you where obedience is needed, but you've just postponed it? Like, later, it's good. Next year's going to be different. The danger here isn't ignorance. It's forgetfulness through neglect. It's a hardening of your heart. If you're anything like me, the longer I endure something, the longer I go through, I can make it smaller. I can make these convictions smaller. I can make these problems. I can do that. I have the ability to do that. I did it really well in my teens and 20s. But that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not the purpose of the revealing of our problems. It's just to learn how to push them down and they hurt less. It's to deal with them. If we're going to avoid a hardened heart, we must embrace that conviction is not the same as our repentance. Conviction should lead to our repentance. Clarity, understanding something fully, is not the same thing as making a change. And lastly, recognizing something is not the same thing as being obedient to something. Reflection exposes, but it does not transform. Our third and final truth is the blessing is in the doing, not the planning to do. I'm going to say that again because I like the way that it sounds. The blessing is in the doing, not the planning to do. Look at verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I love the promises of God's word. Amen? Anybody else like that? I love to read God's word, see a command, see a promise on the other end of it. It makes me happy. It motivates me to want to do it even more. And right here, I'm getting ahead of myself, but look at the last part. If we will adhere to this, this man will be blessed in what he does. Anybody want to be blessed in 2026? I'm not ashamed. I want God to bless me. And I hope you want God to bless you too. And right here in this, we see a pathway to God's blessing. The contrast here is between someone who abides, which means to continually remain in God's word and being faithful to obeying it, and somebody who just forgets about it. Those are the two contrasts that he gives us. I may have missed it. Y'all can tell me afterwards if I did, but when I read God's word, I don't really see a lot of promises that are based on our intentions. Well, I intended to do that. If you will intend to do this, I will bless you. I just don't read that. Now, my great-grandmother had a saying that I will never forget, a saying that I think some of you guys are familiar with. Y'all know what I'm going to say? The road to is paved with good intentions. And it didn't make sense the first time she told me that because I was just a little fella. But the older I got, I was like, boy, I think you're right. good intentions that never led to any obedience. Thanks to a persistent mother and father, I was taught not to cheat in school. Any of y'all get that lesson? You better not be cheating, boy. Better not be cheating. I understood it fully, the command, and I intended to follow it until I got to Algebra 2. If you don't have to spend a lot of time around me to understand that when it comes to the buckets of filling up your gifts, my math gift, boy, it's pretty dry. They just didn't get a lot of that. I did well all the way through Algebra 1, could kind of just do it. Well, I got to Algebra 2, and it just, they added all those letters to math, and to me, that wasn't mathing. I was thinking, why have we got vocabulary in our math now? I got behind because lazy, I didn't want to do it for whatever reason. I got behind, but I had found out that the nice young lady who sat directly in front of me understood Algebra 2 perfectly. And that I was a good bit taller than her, and I could position myself so that, And I learned that terrible lesson to learn. And my intention to not cheat circled and went down the drain. Fast forward, I learned another valuable lesson that math is the type of subject that builds upon the previous thing. And if you don't know the previous thing, you can't ever know how to do the next thing. Well, after paying for 3 college remediation courses, I finally embraced I was going to have to go from just intending not to cheat to not cheat to force myself to learn it if I was ever going to make it and get a college degree, because they all required math. And I had to do that. And I remember sitting in my house in Magnolia Downs as an adult, pouring into remediation algebra just so that I could go back and fix what I had done as a junior in high school. But if my intentions had been more than intentions and had been obedience, I'd have a little more coin in my pocket, and I would have gotten out of college a little bit sooner. Often we think that obedience is restrictive, or I do. I've looked at that way many times. But it is truly liberating if we look at what James says. James calls God's word the law of liberty. And see, that's almost like an oxymoron, a law and liberty. As Americans, we really struggle with that. Like, wait a minute, I can't have liberty if you're telling me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I can't have my liberty, can't have my freedom. See what I'm saying? Obedience to God's word doesn't chain us, it frees us. It's similar to something else that you guys love, and I know I do too, speed limit signs. Y'all been traveling on the holidays, haven't you? Some of y'all need to come to the altar. I'll be the first one down here. We look at a speed limit sign and we get mad. 55? Who wrote that? Who decided that 55 was the appropriate speed limit for right here? The person that wanted to keep you alive determined that if you were driving faster than 55, you're going to go off the side of the road. There's a danger. And so the law, instead of looking at it as restrictive, is really giving us freedom to continue to drive, to continue to live, to continue to go. So the law actually gives us the liberty, gives us the freedom. When we ignore it is when we see chaos. The rule doesn't remove our freedom. It makes us safe to move about and live as we're called to live, we're supposed to live. So what step of obedience have you delayed that God has already promised to bless? We all have them. You're waiting on clarity, but God is just waiting on you to obey what He's already told you. It don't need to get more clear. It's as plain and simple as it can be. You don't need more clarity. Just do what He said. You're waiting on peace. But peace is right in front of you when you obey God's command to do that one thing. You're not waiting on it to catch up. It's right there. Just take the step of obedience. It's right there for you. You're waiting on a blessing, but as we see here, the blessing follows the doing, not the hearing alone. God's word does not reward spectators. It blesses participants. Blessing is not found in planning to obey. Blessing is found in obeying. If we're going to move past planning and get to doing, we've got to understand that intention is not the same thing as obedience. Planning is not the same thing as faithfulness. And delaying is not the same thing as trusting God. The blessing is in the doing, not the planning to do. ...2026 in and of itself will not change you. It will not change me. Time alone never has. Exposure to God's word will inform us, but only obedience to God's word will transform us. James says God's word is a mirror. And today, every single one of us has seen something in it. We've all seen it. On the board, as you look down, you've seen God's word. You've looked at the mirror today. The danger is not that you didn't see it. The danger is that you're going to see it and, once again, do nothing with it. And just walk away. And by the time you get on the other side of the lunch, you go, what did he preach about today? What did we read? But direct application, direct obedience to what God's word says will prevent that. Because you're doing. And you don't forget. Jeffrey, you and the team can come back up. What has God already told you to do that you've been waiting on time to justify, to numb, to forget about? That's what I'd like you to reflect upon as you go forward today. What has God already told you to do that you've been delaying? And do it. I want to say this too. I hope many of you, after you've heard me preach a number of times, you didn't go in the wrong direction here, but I think it's worth it before we conclude. We're not saved because we obey. This is not a works-based sermon like you're trying to earn your salvation by doing a certain amount of works. That's not what I'm saying. And that's not what James is saying. We obey because we have been saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. You're not saved as a result of works. So that no one may boast. But at the same time, so the works don't save us. But at the same time, don't dismiss the works and the obedience that we've seen because you just think, well, I don't believe in works-based salvation. James today is telling us to obey and do what God's word says, without a doubt. And thank God when we have faith in Jesus Christ, we're empowered with the Holy Spirit so that we can obey. Amen. January 1st doesn't make people new. Jesus does. And Jesus makes us new through faith in Him first, as you saw in Ephesians. By grace, you've been saved through faith. And then He changes us as we're obedient to His commands and His following of Him. As we have our time of song, I just want to let you know that the altar's open. Don't know if you want to you have any business to deal with this morning, just know that you're here. You'll be surrounded by support if you need to come down this morning. If you have a need, you have a question, I'll be down front. But if you would, please stand as we sing our last song of worship.